Good evening. Welcome to our evening service. Perhaps not in the normal format that we're used to. We're obviously unable to meet together for because of the COVID virus, but thank the Lord that we have other means. He's given us other means to join together, and you're welcome as you meet with us remotely. I'm going to begin first by praying together. Then Hazel will come and read God's word to us, and then we will look at the passage that Hazel has read. So first of all, let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your great love to us. Thank you, Father, that never changes. Thank you, Father, for the many good things you've given us. Thank you for the many blessings. We have to confess that many of them we just take for granted and do not always have thankful hearts. Father, we want just to thank you for the ability of being able to meet together remotely despite this corona outbreak. And we pray, Heavenly Father, as we join together like this, that you will meet with each one of us, that you will encourage us, that you will bless us, that we ask, Father, that we may know that we have met with you, the living God. And so, Father, we thank you for your love to us. And we pray that you will just encourage us tonight as we look into your word for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We are reading from the first letter of John, chapter 2, and commencing at verse 28, just the last two verses of that chapter, and then the first 10 verses of chapter 3. And the heading is Children of God. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sin. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's word, God's seed, remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother.
Before we come to look at God's word, shall we just begin by praying together? Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that it is relevant and speaks to us today. And as we look into it now, we ask that you would speak to us and encourage us this evening. For your name's sake, we ask these things. Amen. This evening, we're going to continue looking at the letter that John wrote to the churches around Ephesus in the Roman province of Asia. This is now our fifth study. When we started back in the beginning of March, no one could possibly have imagined that we would be in a lockdown situation, and that the only way that we could meet together was by remote technology. COVID-19 has brought about uncertainty to the UK and to the whole of the world. Uncertainty to countries' economy and uncertainty to each one of us. Will I get COVID-19 virus? If I do, will I recover? Will I see my friends and my family again? Will I still have a job to go back to? What effects will this have on my savings, my pension, my house? When will it all end? And we all have so many questions running around in our minds. And John writes this letter to people like us. They had uncertainties. They were facing the unknown. They did not know what was going to happen in the future. Their uncertainties and concerns were very different from ours. And these had been partially brought about by the false teachers that were in the church. If you have a Bible open, please can you open it to 1 John chapter 3. If you're new to the church and you do not have a Bible and you would like one, then please call the number at the end of this video or the number on our website, and we will make sure that we get a Bible to you during the week. If you are not sure where the letter of 1 John is, then just look at the index in the front of your Bible and that will give you the page number. See, this evening we're going to look at 5 points from this passage that Hazel read to us. And we want to see how they are to apply to us living under the threat of the coronavirus. Now, don't worry, though there may be 5 points, they are all fairly brief. And the first point that we notice is the promise of eternal life, the promise of eternal life. Now, last Sunday evening, when Billy was speaking, you may remember that he said we cannot be 100% certain that it was the same John that wrote the Gospel of John and this letter. And one piece of evidence that supports a common author is that this letter clearly follows on from the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, he writes and tells us why he had written the Gospel. In chapter 20 there, in verse 31, he says, I write this that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word believe and believing is a key word that runs right the way through the gospel he wrote. And this letter has a key word. That key word is no. It occurs over 35 times. The letter has been written to Christians, people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they may know they have eternal life. John ends the letter in chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Now, scholars that have looked at these things probably tell us that the letter was probably written about 3 years after the gospel. So the gospel was written that we might believe, and then the letter follows on so that we might know. So the promise of eternal life. A second point that we want to see is whose child am I? One reason that John writes this letter is because of the false teachers that were in the church. They were teaching Gnosticism. Now, we do not have time this evening to go into that, other than to say that they taught that the most important part of a person was their soul. And the body was unimportant. It didn't matter how you behaved or how you lived. The body was not important. It was the soul that there was the all-important part. Now, John is a very loving man. He writes in a loving way, but he can also be very direct. There's no mincing with the words of John. He never waters down or hides truth. Just look at verse 10 in chapter 3. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Two groups of people John mentions here, children of God and children of the devil. Emotive words. There's no third group of people, no in between. Plain to understand. It's black and white. Just two groups. And the question is, that we must ask ourselves is, which group am I in? Whose child am I? God's child or a child of the devil? Now, if you are a Christian this morning, it's a wonderful privilege to belong to God. It's a wonderful privilege to be a child of God. In other parts of the Bible, when we become Christians, it's described as being born again or being born of God. It's when we become God's children. Now, it would be one thing to be born into the family of a multimillionaire or into the family of a king or queen, into a royal family, and that would give us tremendous opportunities. But all these are insignificant when we realize that we are a child of the living God. Look at verse 1 in chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are. Get a highlighter pen and underline it in your Bible. Make it bold. Do not ever forget you are a child of God. Now, I agree that it's extremely easy to say this, but it's incredibly difficult to get that into our heads, get that into our minds, and to understand and appreciate it. I don't know if you can remember as a young child sending birthday cards or Christmas cards to your mum. You would put in your card words like stacks and stacks of, oodles all around the world, to the moon and back. Words to convey your great love for your mum. And as a child of God, God has lavished his great love on us. Lavished. A word that means very generous, extravagant. God lavishes his love upon us, not in some sentimental way, but only in a way that God can. And when you got up this morning, did you know that? Did you know that you were a child of God? Did you know that God has lavished his love on you? Verse 2 says, we are now the children of God. It's not going to be in a few weeks' time. It's not going to be in 6 months' time or 3 or 4 years' time or even when we get to heaven. It's now, this very moment. You became a child of God when you became a Christian, when you were born again. You may not feel like it today, but one day you will. John tells us in verse 2 that at the present time, we do not understand this fully. But there will come a time when we see Jesus, when we are made like him, and then we will fully understand what it is to be a child of God. Now, isn't that a great prospect to look forward to? You may be fearful about COVID-19 in the future. Remember that what God has promised you. He's going to make you like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has lavished his great love on you. Don't look around at the coronavirus. Look beyond and see Jesus. And I'll say it again. Isn't that a wonderful prospect to look forward to? A fourth point that we need to see is continue in Jesus. Continue in Jesus. I once had the privilege of meeting a member of the royal family, but with it came responsibilities. I had the privilege, but there were responsibilities. I had to dress to a certain standard. I had to adhere to certain protocols and procedures, and was expected to behave in a particular manner. Hazel loves the period classics that appear from time to time on our televisions. Pride and Prejudice, Downton Abbey, and such like. Now, if you've ever watched these, it soon becomes evident that those that are born into the aristocracy are expected to behave in a way that reflects this. With privilege comes responsibility. And we have this great privilege of being one of God's children. And there is responsibility. We are to keep ourselves pure, just as Jesus is pure. We see that in verse 3. Now, how do we keep ourselves pure? We keep ourselves pure by making sure we continue with Jesus Christ in our lives. And we also need to do what is right. Look at chapter 2 and verse 28. Dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Continuing with Jesus will lead to two important results. First, we will have confidence both in our salvation and in our relationship with Jesus. And secondly, when we continue with Jesus, we will not be ashamed or embarrassed when we see him. We need to continue to move forward in our lives with Jesus. Now remember, John is talking to Christians. He's encouraging us to stand firm in our spiritual journey as we continue in Christ. We are to live righteous lives. We are not to be influenced by the attractions around us. We're not to be hoodwinked by the many deceptions that would play havoc with our Christian lives. Three times John tells us that if we are children of God, we are to do what is right, so that our lives are righteous, just like Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Chapter 3, verse 7. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. And chapter 3, verse 10 puts it in the other way around, in a negative way. Those who do not do what is right are not God's children. We are to do what is right. Doing what is right by God's standard. The way that God has defined. Because he is the righteous one. He knows what is right and what is wrong. And if we understand that, we will begin to understand just how far short we fall of his standards. Now, as a child of God, verse 5 says that we recognize that we are sinners, and that it is only through Jesus Christ as our Savior, as he comes to die on the cross, and that we can have our sins forgiven. The child of God is somebody who is trusting, who is hoping, who is longing for Jesus. And is that you? If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, John wants you to know that Almighty God, the Maker of the universe, is your Father. You are his child. He loves you personally. He is going to be with you eternally. Your sins are forgiven. Your future is secured. You've got perfection to come. If we know Jesus Christ, you've got everything. Nothing can take that away from you. Not even the coronavirus. COVID-19 may rob you of your job, of your wealth, your homes, your health, your friends, your family, even your life. But it cannot rob you of Jesus Christ. It cannot rob you from being a son or daughter of God. You are secure in his hands. But some of you may say, what about verse 6? No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. What about verse 9? Those who are born of God will not continue to sin. Now, I can't see you, and you can't see me, and you can't see each other apart from those that are watching with you. But I want you to put up your hands if you are a Christian and you still sin. If you're honest, everybody should have their hands up. We all sin. Now, does that mean, therefore, that we're not a child of God? Because John in verse 6 says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. But we just put our hands up and said, we do sin. No, it doesn't mean that we are not a child of God. Now, why doesn't it? Look how John describes sin in verse 4. He uses one word, lawlessness. Lawlessness is not about whether we commit sin or not, but it's about an attitude. An attitude that basically does not care about God. An attitude that says, I do as I please. I'm in charge. I do what I want. And John has already said back in chapter 1 in verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So these verses can't mean that if we continue to sin, we are not a child of God. Verses 6 and 9 are not about Christians never committing sin. They are not there to put doubt in our mind. They're not there to question whether we are a child of God. They are about a Christian no longer continuing in lawlessness. Do you care about what God wants? Do you believe that right and wrong come from him? Do you want to do what is right and wrong? Now, you may struggle with it, but do you want to do what is right? That is not lawlessness. That is the normal struggle that every Christian has in their life. Even when we do mess up and we sin, and we do all do that many times every day, do we feel convicted? Do we feel concerned about our sin? Do we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask that he will forgive us our sin? Do we long to have our lives changed by him? That's not lawlessness. That's a child of God seeking to do what is right. And John says, that is what you are. Our fifth group that we need to look at is the wrong group. We must say something just briefly about the group that John mentions, children of the devil. To say that people are children of the devil is not politically correct in our society, but not John is writing under the inspiration of God, and it's God who is speaking here, and God always speaks the truth. Now, most people do not believe in a devil until they become a Christian, but John tells us here in verse 8, the one who does what is sinful, the one who is lawless, is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Those that continue in sin, those that are lawless, those that have no regard for God, those that only put themselves first, John describes them as children of the devil. They have the same characteristics as the devil. Sin, lawlessness, self, no regard or respect for God. And it's only when we become a child of God, it's only when we acknowledge our sin and we ask God for forgiveness, and that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we cease to be a child of the devil and become a child of God. And if that's not where you are this evening, can I urge you to think about these things, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to confess your sin before him, and to know of his promise that if we do that, he will forgive us our sin and we can become a child of God. Now, just in closing, I just want us to take away a little bit of encouragement. I don't know what the effects of the COVID-19 has had on your life. We are in lockdown. Others of you may be in strict isolation. Some of you may be furloughed. Others may have lost their employment. You may have the relentless job of occupying very active young children. Perhaps you're caught up in helping your children that are being schooled remotely. Times may be tough, and they may get even tougher. But there's good news. If you are a child of God, then he has lavished his great love on you. He will never put you in quarantine. He will never furlough you. He only wants to do what is the very best for you. And what he does for you at this time, the trials and the difficulties that you are going through, you may not understand. But one day you will. One day you will be able to look back and you will be able to say, yes, God was good. God did lavish his great love upon me. So let's take encouragement from this passage. Let's not look at COVID-19 and its effects that is having upon us, but let's look beyond that. Let's look at the promises that God has made if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's know that God has lavished his great love upon us because we are his children. Amen. Let's just pray together. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that we find. Thank you, Father, for your promises that if we are your children, then you have lavished your great love upon us. Thank you, Father. Amen.